Well, really, even before the meeting, one can perhaps say that the proclamation of the state of emergency came to us surprise because of the way it came about. Soon after, what a change of strategy and policy, which incorporated dialogue and reconciliation. So we thought that the proclamation was ill-advised and ill-timed, because if really the government was serious about reconciliation and dialogue, and the committee has just been inaugurated barely a week or two after, then there is a declaration of war. I'm not the word war is not my creation. It was the creation of the president, who said that he is at war. At war in his own country. So it's a bit confusing as to whom he's fighting. Is he fighting against people of the country by declaring war? One can remember that even in 1967, General Gowon, after the secessionists have announced their secession from Nigeria, in a state of Biafra, did not announce that he was going to war with the Biafras. He said he was going to start a military action so that, he can bring them back into the fold. But here's this clear statement that he's at war against a tattered group that had been under occupation for the last year or so. The place has been occupied for almost a year and a half. Under a state of emergency covering very many local governments already. So I thought that there was much more than what we can see by this proclamation. We thought that perhaps there is more politics in it than actually the intention to bring this crisis to that end.
Professor, some people are saying that the president, and for that matter the government, is constitutionally mandated to do everything within its power to ensure the protection of life and property, and that Boko Haram has been creating havoc, killing people, unarmed civilians, and that is why the government took that action. And they said that is necessary to ensure these groups are prevented from carrying out the activities. Do you support that suggestion?
I'm not sure you are very up to date with the figures of casualty, talking about loss of life and property. I don't think anybody can convince me that Boko Haram has killed more people than the Nigerian military and the police as of this point in time. If the statistics are accurate in terms of who killed who, I think the security forces of Nigeria has killed more people than perhaps Boko Haram has done. So I think there is some other misunderstanding of facts or deliberate use of facts to serve a particular end. Otherwise, of course, nobody wants the destruction of lives and property from whatever quarters. But the principal duty of a state is to protect lives and property. Yes, we agree. This is the responsibility of government. But the government, in doing that, must not be seen to be the one that is killing more people than the insurgents that they are trying to attack.
The elders are also going to look at inter-party democracy. What does that mean? And what would you be focusing on about that?
Well, perhaps you're aware there is something like a celebration today. They called it Democracy Day. And it's very difficult for me to understand what it really means. Whether Nigeria is observing 29th of May as an Independence Day, and Independence Day is 1st of October, or whether we are celebrating an election conducted in 1999. If it is that one, that was not the first election that was considered to be a fair election. The first fair election was held in 1979. other fair elections, including that was aborted, was Abiola's election in 1993. It was a fairly good election, and so on. So if it is just election, 1999 was not the first one that civilians came into power. But if they are saying that there is sustenance of democracy, this is what I would like to question, because there isn't. The fact that civilians are still in charge and there has not been military intervention does not necessarily mean celebration of democracy. Democracy here, in my own understanding, is a situation where people should be able at any given point in time not only to express themselves, but most crucially to be able to change their leadership as and when due. And as far as I know, and I can tell you that I'm a founding father of PDP when it was started. As far as I know, after the 1999 election, there has not been a free and fair election in this country that will really be a determining, I mean, that was determined by the free will of the people, where their votes were counted, where they wanted these votes to go. So 2003 was rigged, 2007 was rigged, 2011 was rigged. So what celebration would there be? Perhaps you are also aware, only a few days ago, there has been a crisis as to whether 35 governors could constitute themselves into an electoral college that will determine freely who is going to be their chairman. I'm sure you are aware of what the crisis on ground in terms of the difference between 16 and 19, whether somebody who got the 19 and who got 16 or 17, and so on. So you see, there has been a lot of pretenses on these celebrations. And if celebrations means that people can look back and say, yes, we have gained this much out of civilian government over this so many years, my first question is, when we came into power in 1999, this country could only boast of 3,000 megawatts of electricity. And 15 or 14 years later, after spending billions of dollars, we are still in the same place. You can't go to the hospitals and get easy medical treatment. You cannot get clean water to drink. Sanitation is the poorest you can find. Life expectancy has degenerated over this last 14 years from 53 years to 48 and so on. So what is there to celebrate in the kind of democracy that we have in Nigeria?
I hear the elders are also going to review the legal committee's preparations and evidence so far gathered in order to take your complaint to the ICJ. What can you tell me about this?
Well, that is where we are still. If you are going to a court, you must make sure that you are fully prepared. And I'm not a legal expert in any sense, and I can only rely on the advice of those that are experts in this field. And they're working very hard to make sure that our facts, our evidence, and so on are sufficiently on ground for us to be able to bring those that have been responsible for human rights violations, including criminal activities over this period. I think there is somewhere people thinking that we are taking a particular side. What we're saying is that if anybody has been found wanting in terms of committing crimes over these years, they should be brought to book. We are saying also, if Boko Haram, somebody can arrest people who are known to have committed war crimes or human rights violations, they should all be included. But if government is also equally guilty, they should also be accountable. This is what we're saying. And this is the evidence at least we're trying to put together and see which way the Nigerian people can benefit from a lot of these violations that have taken place.